Hi everyone, and welcome to Keyframe, the Geek Show's dedicated animation podcast. My name's Rob, and joining me today is Tucky.
Hello!
And nobody else, because, well, we're the best, aren't we, Tucky?
I'm starting to feel like I farted and everyone's just vacated the room and you're the only one who can stand the smell. That's what it feels like at the moment.
What does that say about me, then?
You like my farts?
Not particularly. It's a proven fact that you only like your own farts.
I can vouch for that, I suppose.
Am I Tucky? Did something weirdly cosmic happen?
Quick, oh dear.
Let's move on.
Moving on. Yes, animation, cartoons.
Yes.
Anime, puppetry.
Conventions.
Conventions, yes.
You went to anime, didn't you?
It's a week after. It feels like it's one of the things when you go to a convention.
Yeah.
And like the week after, you look back, you're like, it wasn't a week ago, was it? And it was. A week ago, I was running around Coventry dressed as Godzilla.
Did you actually manage to find a Godzilla outfit?
Yeah, they do. The thing is, with the, was it the fancy dress company, Rubies, do a full inflatable Godzilla suit.
And did you hire it or did you buy it?
No, I've bought it. I've got it's mine to use whenever and wherever I feel like now.
Have you told Rob this?
I haven't told anybody this. People who were there obviously know.
How much was it?
I think it was like 75 quid.
75 quid?
Yeah, but it's like officially licensed, so they've done like a decent job, but the head keeps caving inwards. It looks like I was dropped on my head at birth. So birth defect Godzilla suit, and went round Amicon because I like the cosplay, but I never have time to make them. So yeah. I think my last cosplay was a Gandalf the Grey, about 3-4 years ago. God, no, it was the Punisher. I was Frank Newcastle, going around concert dressed as the Punisher.
It shouldn't be the Punisher, it should be War Punisher.
War Punisher. Yeah. You butler broom. And so I commissioned somebody who draws like crappily, and I've still got that picture somewhere. But that off topic, sticking with Amicon, which was like, it's one of them residential conventions, 4 days I was there.
Yeah.
Decent venue at Warwick, but unfortunately it's not going to be held there. Neither is Kitacon. Luckily you still got SunnyCon, cheap plug, but it was interesting because we got to meet Jerry Jewell, obviously of Yuri on Ice fame.
Yeah.
I mean, he was kind of semi-famous before that, but, he down to voice actor, we got to sit there at his panel, and surprisingly not as many Yuri on Ice fangirls/boys were there, but he seems like, I don't know, he's like one of them people, like, he can be either really boring or, you know, he's got a really wild side when he's drunk. And from what I hear, it's the latter. But we're talking in his Q&A, and he turns around, and I think it was Mark who asked a question, and part of the answer was that I can't remember what the question was, by the way, so there's no context to this, so you're just getting an answer, figure out the question yourselves. So he turns around and he's like, well, voice actors, they're becoming more tired because of the simul dubs, because he does the ADR directing. And with like all these new animes coming out season on season, it's like waves just crashing against Funimation.
Yeah.
Figuratively and literally. So the voice actors in America right now, we're seeing a lot more like canceling guest appearances at conventions because the workload's now getting to critical masses. And obviously it's starting to wear them out a bit, but part of this explanation was that now One Piece isn't being dubbed because the cost's too high.
Wow.
Which was quite surprising. And it's one of the things, because we're over here, I think it was a few episodes ago, we were lamenting the fact that the One Piece Gold film had been promised to us in the UK, but was never ever released.
Yeah.
And we didn't get like an adequate explanation. And we've seen less and less One Piece dubbed stuff. And now, according to Jerry Jewell, they're not dubbing it at all. So, might be the end of One Piece as we know it.
Well, I don't think it's the end of One Piece as we know it. I think One Piece will.
Well, no, obviously One Piece will go on, but the for English like audience, the dubbed One Piece, at least, is on hiatus. Or I don't know. I don't get it. Have they tried overcharging because One Piece is this absolute behemoth and they can charge whatever they want? Or will we see a new dubbing team coming on board? Or Funimation?
I'll be honest. I don't think we'll see a new dubbing team, because if there's a new dubbing team, it'll upset a lot of the fans who are used to the current cast. I think that this is a combination of things. Number one, it kind of proves what I've been saying about Funimation, about American voice acting in general. The talent pool is far too small. And I've been saying that for years now, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
It's far too small. And this is the upshot of it. Now, I basically saw this coming years ago. I could have told you years ago, it's going to get to a point where people want these episodes out the same time as they're airing in Japan. But if they're in Japanese, then you're not going to be able to get them out.
Sometime around the 100th episode, actually, we discussed this.
Yeah.
so you can go back, and we're not just blowing smoke out our asses.
Well, even before then, I've been saying they need to broaden the talent pool. Now, that may mean that in the short term, voice actors get paid a little bit less. They might not get as much work. But you're basically planning for the long-term future. You're planning for that time when anime in the West is a massive thing. And that time is literally on the horizon. We are taking the final few steps before anime becomes fully mainstream in the West. But we don't have the voice cast to support that.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because I'm lucky enough to have spoken to lots of American dub voice actors in my time. And
yeah,
it's been interesting seeing them from like 2012 when I first spoke to Veronica and Chris Sabat, and we've had Sonny Strait, Christina V, Vic Mignogna, all of those. And when you talk about the industry that they're in, it was more relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah.
The demand wasn't there, and this was before the 24/7 simul dubs, where basically Funimation's turned around, or Sony actually turned around and said, well, Sony was part of it. Apparently Sony's thing was, they walked in, they says, keep doing what you're doing, and just walk back out the office. That's as far as Sony's like influence is.
Again, though, that's what we predicted about the Sony takeover. Sony wouldn't change anything in the short term. They would just have Funimation continue doing what they're doing. And then they'd basically work on things in the background and maybe introduce them much later on down the line.
That's one of the points. And it was, like I said, Jerry works behind the scenes on it. And he was saying, like, there's like 80 to 90 episodes a season, and they're constantly working. And if they make a mistake or get asked to redo it again, they don't get double the pay packet.
No,
they have to do that on their own time. And it's taken a physical toll on quite a few of them.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, because Funimation is located in Texas. Mm. Texas is practically, if you don't live in Fort Worth or Los Angeles, then, you know, chances of you getting in there are very slim. So unless you're willing to move there, you know, if you want to be a voice actor, you know, that's the sacrifice you'll have to take. But watching when he says the likes of One Piece are getting put on the back burner, and the fact that there's just going to be more anime, and like we're saying, it's more mainstream now.
Yeah,
Netflix are doing it, Crunchyroll and Funimation's got their agreement going on. There's more there.
Yeah.
But are we going to see Funimation burn out? You know, a voice actor's actually going to take a greater physical toll on themselves.
Yes, they are. Like I said, it comes down to it. The heartbeat, the soul of any company, the soul of any business, are the people who work there. Not the bosses. Okay, I'm not including the bosses in this. It's just basically the people who are basically making everything happen. Whether it's a customer services business, whether you're in manufacturing, whether you're building ships or satellites or preparing food or in a restaurant, whatever. It's always the people who are making everything happen. And in a business like Funimation's business, that is the voice cast. You can have as many directors doing ADR and whatever, but if you don't have the voice cast, you don't have any English dub.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I've been saying for years, and I don't think I'm the only person who's been saying this, I've just been a bit more vocal about things. I've been saying for years, expand the talent pool. Widen it. We have global communication. You do not have to just be in Fort Worth or in Los Angeles. Saying that, oh, if you don't live around here or you don't live in LA, then you're not going to get in. That might have been true several years ago. But that should no longer be the case now, and I think that's one of the stumbling blocks for Funimation. They haven't expanded outwards in the way that maybe they should have. And I honestly think that's something that Sony will expect them to do, because looking at Sony's history and looking at other companies, I mean, even if you look at animation studios in France and Germany and on the continent, they don't just get talent for their work from around their local area, do they?
No, they don't. It's a diversification that's needed. And like I said, just an interesting thing to see from speaking to a voice actor, like, because we always talk about, oh, what's the future? Like, you know, give on hypotheticals of what ifs and that. But actually hear from somebody who works on the inside, especially someone as influential as Jerry, who's been around for quite a few years now. You know, he's worked hard to get where he is, and he's been asked to work a lot harder. And I kind of feel sorry for them, because he was saying, like, it's a professional thing that they want to keep a high quality product going out, and the quality is something that we've said has seemed to be slipping a bit.
Yeah, it's professional pride. And the thing is, I have no doubt that the voice actors, and I consider a lot of the voice acting community to be very talented at what they do. My criticisms are generally not aimed at the voice actors. It's generally aimed at whoever's doing, like, the script, the dialogue, because I can understand how the voice actors can get burned out. You know, they're voicing multiple roles. And I've seen this happen with Japanese voice actors for many years. That's one of the reasons why I knew it was going to happen in the West, in the American dub community. I knew that was going to happen because it happened in Japan several times already. And if it's happened in Japan several times already, it's only a matter of time before it happens in the West.
Well, so because demand's still there and it's only growing.
Yeah.
They're going to need to do something about it. So,
I mean, losing the One Piece dub, I actually think that's not a bad thing. I honestly think that's not necessarily a bad thing.
For fans,
it might be. But my response to that is, there's nothing wrong with the Japanese dub. There's nothing wrong with reading subtitles. Yes, it's a slight change, but there's nothing wrong with it. If the ultimate upshot of that is that Funimation save money and the voice actors can basically diversify and do other projects, and maybe they'll bring in more voice talent, maybe the money that they saved can help them bring in more voice talent to actually support the current voice actors that they've got on roster, then maybe it's a good thing. You know, maybe ultimately it's a great thing for fans.
Well, who knows? But like I say, One Piece, it's still going to go, but there's got to be a point where the demand gets so high for a dubbed version of One Piece.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to sit at the table, and whether, I don't, like say, he didn't go into detail as to what the issue was, why they're not dubbing it, whether it was time constraints, whether it was too much expense. But there's going to be a time where it's like, well, the demand's there, we can make the money off it.
Yeah.
And you drop your price. And it's seeing how that develops in the future, because I don't think it'll happen soon.
No.
But with One Piece, like, still going, I mean, it's in the Wano Country arc now. It's getting interesting still. And it's an enduring long-time anime. And the people in the West will want to see an English version. Or American version, should I say. So
this is the thing. I honestly don't care whether there's an English version of One Piece or not. This is speaking from my own experience, okay? I'm more used to subs than I am dubs. But I can understand for younger fans, for newer fans, that they will want an English version. But I honestly don't think the demand is there. And I think that if One Piece goes back to being subs, I honestly think this will happen. I think that the demand for an English dub of One Piece will dwindle. I honestly think that that will happen, because people forget things. Initially, they might all demand an English dub, but as months go on, that memory of the English dub of One Piece will eventually dwindle. They'll go out and buy the subbed version of One Piece, and they'll watch that. And then eventually, they'll just get used to watching the subbed version. Because
I'd go against that, because if demand's there, money's there to be made.
Yeah,
it's a rare occurrence. I'll admit it's a rare occurrence that pressure would actually bring something like that back through the door.
I don't think it'll happen in the case of One Piece. I think that the fans of One Piece in the West are happy just for any One Piece they can get. So whether it's dubbed or not, don't.
No, we'll see. I reckon One Piece has the power to do. Let me
go back to your point about One Piece Gold. Yeah, right. Yeah. Would you be happy with an English dub of One Piece Gold, or would you just be happy with One Piece Gold being released in the UK?
My personal preference would be that I'd just be happy with any One Piece Gold, but Donna, her preference is she only likes the English dub for it. She watches subs, but yeah, with One Piece, she started as the English dub, and to her, like hearing all the Japanese voices after, it's weird, so she wants that consistency just to carry it through.
Yeah, but that's my point. When you've got an option, people will always prefer what they've always been used to. But if you don't give people an option, they quickly become used to whatever's left. And you don't necessarily need dubs for things. I mean, MVM have been motoring along nicely, and they rarely have dubs.
Yeah, but that's their thing, though, isn't it? They don't bow to pressure like that. And they've got quite a good few properties in recent history as well. So
it's one of the reasons why MVM keep being, you know, my distributor of the year. They've been my distributor of the year several times. Anime Limited took the title a couple of years, and this year it's actually between MVM and Anime Limited. I'll be honest.
It'd be interesting to see, because Anime Limited's got the film festivals going for it, and
yeah,
they've got the really nice bunch of people.
Well, not only that,
if you see them. Events.
Oh yeah, I've known Jeremy for years, and I love it when I can sit down and talk to him. I know that the Anime Limited gang, they're a wonderful bunch of people, and last year I had to give them my distributor of the year. I think did I give it to MVM or did I give it to Anime Limited last year?
Oh, I can't remember. You'd have to re-listen to the
I'll have to
the,
go back I'm just thinking I might have given it to MVM last year. But it was a close-run thing, because Anime Limited released... they brought Lou Over the Wall and The Night is Short, Walk On Girl, which I think I might have forgotten. And now that I think about it, I might have to go back and retrospectively give it back to Anime Limited.
You're putting up potato with awards, man.
I know. It's just... How do you walk up to someone and say, nope, you can't have this, sorry.
It's like them American award shows where they bugger up. It's like, oh, sorry, you don't get the Oscar. Oh, shame.
You sounded like the manager from Office Space.
But yeah, going down that road.
Yeah. Anyway, the topic we've been discussing is, you know, what's going to happen to dubs. There's several things that I think need to happen in the dub community. Well, there's several things that I think need to happen in general within the anime industry in the West, as it is, with Funimation and with Crunchyroll, with Netflix, with all of them, right? I think that, number one, the number of voice actors they have on their rosters, that needs to expand a lot. And I think that they need to get out of the idea that they can only hire American voice actors.
At least the ones like out of the area code of Texas.
They need to broaden their horizons to cover the entirety of America first, and then go a stage further and broaden their horizons to cover the entirety of the world, because there are numerous talented people all over the world who would love to be involved in voice acting for anime. I know several who are amazingly talented. Do you know why they can't get gigs? Because they don't live in Texas or Los Angeles.
Well, let's say this is the thing. It's I think we've brought this point up before. When you look for a diverse voice talent pool,
yeah,
and you see what Blizzard did with Overwatch,
yeah,
they've got people from all over. I mean, Widowmaker's actually French.
There are recording studios in the majority of towns and cities in the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are recording studios where you can basically say to a voice actor, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to link up using the internet. We'll go over things with you. We want you to record it like this. They have somebody who they're basically appointed as a producer or whatever in the booth doing the recording. They send the recording off to Funimation and they basically have listened to it. And if they've nailed it, they've nailed it. Yeah?
Yeah. It seems like a simple process enough, because like we say, when they used to do voice acting back in the old days, it used to be on a cassette. And then get it on a cassette, get it over to the director. Director listens, tells them to either do it again or, you know, go.
Yeah. And the thing is, you take a leaf out of stage actors. take a leaf out of how they rehearse. So you don't have to have everybody being recorded at the same time. You can basically say, okay, here is a Google Hangout, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of you connect to this Hangout. You're going to go through all of your lines, and this is your rehearsal. So everybody rehearses together using Google Hangout or Skype or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And that way, when it comes to the recording, they know what kind of inflection they need to place on words. They know what kind of tone they're supposed to adopt in a particular scene because they've done it repeatedly in rehearsal. If you go to any stage actor worth their salt and you say, okay, can you do this scene from this play you've been doing? They will do it cold. They won't need anyone else around them.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, is something that needs to happen with the voice.
If they'll actually do this, though, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's what needs to happen with the voice acting community. It needs to expand, and they need to adopt more of a stage idea with it if they expand to include people from around the world.
So it's something to bring up next time I say a voice actor. Because it's one of the things they usually get, oh, how do you become a voice actor? Not, so what's the state of the industry at the moment? Is your job secure? you know, that kind of thing. But they love that. They love to talk about that side. When we had Chris Sabat here, everybody was like, oh, just do the voice, say this, say well, I mean, over 9,000.
That interview I did with Sharamie, when she starts talking about how she wants to work with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. These people, the humans, that have aspirations, they've got ideas outside of voice acting. And I think if you take away the, like, oh, they dub this character, if you ask them about life in general, just to be tret human, that's all voice actors really love. And like 99% of all voice actors I've spoke to, they treat them like a normal human. They'll absolutely love you for it.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Sharamie is absolutely adorable.
She is. The thing is, it's like she hasn't got a bad bone in her body at all, which it's, I don't know if that makes us uncomfortable that there's no evil there, but she's uncomfortably positive.
I'll be honest, right? I was kind of dazzled by the positivity because, well, as you guys already know, I'm like 99% of the way to being a supervillain anyway. And given the area where I live, I'm just mildly steeped in evil.
Just train them up to become an army and you're sorted.
Yeah, but exactly. So, you know, interviewing Sharamie, I was like, I was blinded by the positivity. And you can tell in the interview, I'm like, there's times when I'm a bit lost for words because I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to handle this.
It is. And it's one of the things, if you run a convention and you get to see behind the scenes, some voice actors have to put on a front for fans. And then when you get to see them relaxing, they're usually like a little bit more mellow, a little bit more serious, a little bit more tired. But Sharamie was 100% bubbly.
Well,
the same goes for Caitlin as well. Caitlin was tons of fun.
The thing that I love about interviewing voice actors, especially at events like Sunny, is that by the time we get our hands on them, they've been through all the rigmarole and everything like that, and they're just happy to be a take five and talk to somebody who isn't like a total fanboy, you know, isn't kind of swooning over them or anything like that, or, you know, wanting to hug them or kiss them or whatever. Just basically is there and asking questions that genuinely interest me, because I'm usually the one asking the questions. How that happened, I don't know.
it'll be interesting. Next time, see voice acts, because you get like information from it. It sounds like you interrogate them when I say it like that, but you get information from them that other like mainstream news outlets or even just blogs and whatnot don't really get, because they're in that storm of what's going on, and simuldub sounds like an absolute terrible one.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we leave that to one side?
Yes, we've got stuff to review and talk about.
Do you want to go first?
Well, what do you have?
Well, I've got Black Clover.
Oh, yeah. Interestingly enough, I've just started rewatching that.
Okay.
So, because after Sunny, I kind of dropped off the anime bandwagon a bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's only the first season, which is 10 episodes, right? I might as well just dive straight into this, and we'll do yours afterwards.
Yeah, sure. It's just because I've been rewatching it, and I'm up to... I went from, episode 26 was where I left off before Sunny, and I'm up to, 42 at the moment. I think it's, 43, so I'm nearly caught up.
So, The thing that I like about the Blu-ray release of Black Clover is that it has several extras on, right? On the first disc, there's an episode 4 commentary. On the second disc, there is this, clip type thing, which is like a short, stylized, cartoonish episode where Asta and one of the other characters, and the female character, I've forgotten her name, but they're...
Noel. Is it Noel?
Noel, that's it, yeah. Well, Asta and Noel, they're basically going around the Black Bull's headquarters, and they've been told there's a ghost, and they're seeing the other members of the Black Bulls, everything like that.
So is that like the chibi?
Yeah, the chibi thing.
Yeah.
And then there is the there's the clips as well. So there's clips that I think Crunchyroll have put on their website. So there's clips of episodes 1 to 3 and 4 to 6 and 7 to 9. And these clips just basically showing scenes from those episodes, but it's got comments by people on there. So there's those as well. And there's also an interview in Studio J with the ADR director and some of the voice actors, which is an interesting piece as well. So there's those. So anyway, getting to the main meat of what Black Clover is. Black Clover is not Naruto. Okay? Let me make that clear.
I've been on record of saying it is, but after watching it for like nearly 50 episodes, I can attest that it's not Naruto.
Okay. Let me tell you a story. Let me spin you a tale here, Tucky, right? Once upon a time, there was a very popular shonen manga and anime series called Naruto. And once upon a time, Shonen Jump tried desperately to find something that could replace it. And once upon a time, there was a mangaka called Yuki Tabata who had a series called Hungry Joker, which, you know, met with moderate, reasonable success, I suppose. Well, it wasn't really successful. But then Yuki Tabata started on a new series called Black Clover, in which there were two orphans, Asta and Yuno, and they were both abandoned outside a church when they were babies on the same day. And they were raised effectively as brothers, but Yuno is kind of quiet and more mature. Asta is short and suffers from short man's disease, which is having a bad temper. But also, he is very physically strong, whereas Yuno isn't, right? But Yuno has this massive capacity for magic. He's been able to use magic for years. Asta still hasn't activated his magic. He doesn't know why. They don't know what's going on. Both of them have said that they're going to be the Wizard King. Now, the Wizard King is this guy who, in history, defeated this massive demon and saved humanity. Yada, yada, yada. Now there is this world where you have magic knights, and the current Wizard King is in charge of all the magic knights, and they protect the kingdom. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah?
Say where I drew comparisons was two rivals, obviously being brought up close as young, and the Hokage is the goal.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's basically the same as saying, hey, Tucky, you and I are basically brothers because we're both men.
I can say that.
That's exactly the same. Oh, there are two rivals striving to achieve a particular goal. That relates to...
That's every manga.
That's every sports manga, every sports anime, every shonen manga, every shonen anime in history. Right? So, are we clear that this is not Naruto?
Well, it's being pushed as the replacement to Naruto.
It's not, though. This is...
No, it was marketed. When it came out, was first marketed as, this is going to be one of the next big three, as in last week, there's no need for another big three.
Yeah, but this
They wanted to market it and push it as
this is
Black
my
Clover
point.
Will learn Naruto-sized hole.
Yeah, this is my point, though, right? They marketed it like that, and during the first few chapters of the manga, now I've read the manga, I'm fully up to date with the manga, right? During the first portion of the manga, they even pushed the mangaka, they even pushed Yuki Tabata to basically approach it in the way of Naruto, right? Try and make Asta and Yuno these bitter rivals, blah, 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 blah. Now, it's a credit to Tabata that they didn't fall for that, and that they basically stood their ground to a degree and said, no, these two are basically brothers. They actually like each other. Yes, they're rivals, but they're not going to go out and try and kill each other. Right?
Yeah, just friendly banter between two of them.
Yeah, because, and this is one of the things, you know, this is why I honestly get pissed off when people say, oh, it's basically Naruto because I've watched 10 episodes of a 51-episode series. And in those 10 episodes, in these first 10 episodes, it's very clear it's not Naruto. In the first episode, it's very clear it's not Naruto.
So, you know, I was one of them ones who said it was Naruto. Basically, I imagined it as, you know, like, say, them two rivals, big showdown on top of that Daemon Skull where they live. But I've watched it further, and like you say, these similarities pretty much stop dead in the blurb to it.
Yeah,
not even in within episode one, because it is different, and it's remarkably different, and it's unique in its own right.
See, this is the thing: there are elements of Fairy Tail. There are elements of Natsu's character in Asta, in the fact that he doesn't give up. But Asta's not the same as Natsu, because Natsu believes in the power of his friends. Asta believes in his own power. That's the difference.
His will can drive other people rather than the other way around,
right? Yuno is an interesting character because he's not Sasuke. He's not super depressing and emo as balls. Yuno is an actual intelligent character who actually has emotions. He just doesn't express them that well. And the reason for that is because he's been, in his own way, trying to push Asta to basically stand on the same level as him. The whole thing with the Clovers, with the Grimoires, I like the aspect of that because it explains that the first three leaves on the Clover are something like faith, kindness, and hope. The fourth leaf on the Clover is good luck. But then the fifth leaf on the Clover, which makes the Clover black, is the sign of the devil.
Yeah, the demon.
In the dub, they call it the devil, but it's the demon, the devil, whatever. And the thing is, Asta's Grimoire is the black clover, because he has the five-leaf clover, which is why he can nullify magic. Now, this isn't really gone into in the first 10 episodes. This is something that is easy to work out, though, based on the narration and things like that. I don't mind the narrator to a degree, because it's giving necessary exposition, but I think there's better ways to handle that exposition within the form of an anime.
This Blu-ray, it's the English dub.
It's both dubs, okay?
Alright, because I've only watched the sub on Crunchyroll, so I'm unaware of any English dub.
Yeah, it's both dubs. I understand the need for the narration, I just think that in the process of turning it into an anime, there are ways you can adapt it so that you don't need to use a narrator. So you can have a character explain this stuff, or you can have it explained to them as part of the process of them going through this exam or something like that. Anyway, they basically get their grimoires. Asta doesn't get his, because effectively he has zero magical talent. But Yuno is absolutely certain, he is absolutely certain that Asta is his only rival to become the Wizard King.
Mm-hmm.
And that bears fruit later on when Asta gets his own grimoire. I'm not going to go into details about how that happens, right? But then you basically have them joining the Magic Knights, and it quickly moves on. It moves on at a pace that isn't in things like Naruto or Bleach or something like that. And that's one of the key differences. It doesn't hang around in the first 10 episodes. It basically just motors on with the storyline. And I think that's to its benefit, because in the first 10 episodes, there is basically no filler.
Yay. You know. It's a weird thing to think that, you know, that's, you cannot fit a little beach episode in there or the summer festival one halfway through, like most of them.
They will, you know, eventually, I'm assuming they will have the beach episode and stuff like that. In fact, it was.
They did. They did. It's about episode 40. But the thing is, it's not filler. It ties into the story.
I was going to say, because by that point, isn't their mission something to do with the water and they have to go to the seaside anyway?
So they just kind of like put it in there, but it's still, the plot's still going.
Yeah.
Even though there's like a little smidge of fan service, just a dash of it thrown in there.
So anyway, coming back to the Magic Knights, everybody wants Yuno because Yuno has all this power and he's got the four leaf clover grimoire. And so he joins the Magic Knights of the Golden Dawn, who are like the number one ranked knights. Asta, when he stands up, nobody wants him to be part of the Magic Knights. And eventually he gets taken in by the captain of the Black Bulls, who are the worst group of knights. they are the outcasts. They are the ones who don't fit in with any other group of knights. The difference, though, is that, and this is a key difference that I want to highlight, right? The difference is that, unlike the other group of knights, the Black Bulls are close-knit. They all know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and they are all combative and aggressive and everything like that, right? Some of them are drunks, some of them are gluttons. And a key thing about the glutton girl?
Yeah.
She is one of the strongest characters. She's one of the most powerful characters in the Black Bulls.
Yeah, I've seen. I'm a fan of Gordon, the Marilyn Manson-looking one. He always whispers.
Yeah, Gordon always whispers, but the glutton girl, there's one scene, I think, much later on, it's in during the Seaside Mission in the manga, where they convince her that one of the enemy is trying to eat all her food, and she loses it, as in properly loses her shit. And
I've already seen her powers and whatnot in the later animes.
Yeah.
I haven't been following the manga. Like I said, I've just caught up with the backlog, and Black Clover was the first one that I went to, actually.
Yeah, the thing is, Black Clover, after the first 10 episodes, I know that it gets a bit more enjoyable. But these first 10 episodes are a good introduction. Okay, it might not be everyone's cup of tea. But if you're a Naruto fan, what I would recommend is just suspend any idea and any comparison to Naruto and enjoy this for the story that it is. It's a lot better than you think. Okay, it's not a great story. Okay? I wouldn't say that it's, you know, this is cutting-edge literature in any way, shape, or form. It is a very, very shonen story. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. The characters are a little on the bland side at times. You know, Asta is kind of a one-dimensional character. Yuno, again, is kind of a one-dimensional character. But then again, John McClane is a one-dimensional character.
And they made five diehards so far?
Yeah, exactly. Right,
but it's like you say, if you can get past, especially if you're watching the Japanese dub, I don't know how they've dubbed it in English, but Asta's shouty, screamy, sista lily voice, that's something to overcome, because yeah. The thing is, it's unusual. You never see an annoying voice in anime, surprisingly. Well, not many of them, at least, and Asta's drills right through you.
It does.
I like it for how unique it is. But it is annoying as tits.
But the thing is, it's meant to be. It's an affectation. It's a credit to Gakdo Kajiwara in the Japanese dub, because Asta is supposed to be annoying. He's supposed to be like that. The whole point of Asta's journey is that he is learning to be more mature, to be more aware of the things around him, right? It's very different to Naruto's journey, where Naruto basically wanted to prove himself and be accepted by everyone. Asta isn't trying to prove himself and be accepted by everyone. What Asta's job is basically be aware of everyone. If you're the Wizard King, then you're the first shield of the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. You're the one who's responsible for protecting everybody, and that means you have to be aware of everybody around you.
And you've got to work hard to get to where you need to be, and yeah. Whereas, obviously, continue to work hard, don't slack off.
Yeah, whereas, I'm sorry to say, but being the Hokage, you might be the most powerful, but you're basically middle management, let's be fair, right?
If even that.
Yeah, if
even all the paperwork. That's the thing, in Boruto, that's all he is.
Yeah.
It's just an office slave.
Yeah, and that's my point. Boruto proves that being Hokage is not really worth it.
It's all right to say you protect people, but when you're filling out a health and safety form, it just detracts. It's like, well done, your journey to become a paper pusher. Well done. Yeah.
But anyway,
all your friends died, so you could sign at the bottom of that sheet.
Yeah. But anyway, as I said, the Japanese dub, Asta's played by Gakdo Kajiwara, and Yuno's played by Nobunaga Shimazaki. And they both do fairly well. There's only so much you can do with a one-dimensional character when it comes to acting, right? Same goes for Dallas Reed and Mika Solosod for the English dub, because there's only so much you can do with a one-dimensional character.
Oh, Mika, he was Soul Eater.
Yeah, Noel Silver.
I believe he's also in Yuri on Ice as well. So.
Yeah, Kana Yuki plays the role of Noel Silver, and Jill Harris plays the English dub for Noel Silver. And this series is equally eminently watchable in English or Japanese. Doesn't matter, right? You'll basically get the same enjoyment out of it. If you approach this, though, thinking that it's basically a copy of Naruto and you're tainting, you're already biased against it, then you're going to get nothing out of it. But then again, if you're already biased against anything, you're going to get nothing out of it.
Yeah, the marketing did do it a disservice.
The marketing has done it an absolute disservice. Part of the reason for that comes back to Shonen Jump. This is where Shonen Jump really messed up with Black Clover. By trying to force Yuki Tabata to make this into something that was something that fit into that Naruto mold, by trying to do Naruto all over again, and forcing Yuki Tabata to start this in a certain way, they basically alienated a lot of people who would have given this the chance. Let me put it this way. Black Clover is so very different to Naruto, whereas you look at Hiro Mashima and Eden Zero, which is basically Fairy Tale in space.
Yes, we've discussed this a lot last week.
Do you see what I mean? But the thing is, you get a lot of Fairy Tale fans who are also Naruto fans who won't watch Black Clover because, oh, it's just like Naruto. But then they'll go and read Eden Zero?
Yeah.
So
it's one of the things. I mean, Crunchyroll pushed it as, well, it's like Naruto. I think that was one of their main things.
It's not,
they shared
like
clips of it. And
yeah, it's not and like Naruto.
That set my mind frame up for, well, it's Naruto. You know, exactly. I was alright with Naruto. And I've given it a chance. And like I say, the plot was in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
The characters are all different. They've all got their own individual, like, quirks. Like you say, the whole Black Bulls, all of them, each individual has interesting, like, points. I mean, some of them, yes, there's a very fairy tale, kind of like Misfit Guild kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
But it's not fairy tale. It's distinctively not fairy tale. And it's distinctively not Naruto. It is its own thing.
Yeah. And that's my point. Yes, it's taken some inspiration from Naruto in parts. Yes, it's taken some inspiration from Fairy Tail in parts. But both Fairy Tail and Naruto took their inspiration from other manga. So all I can say is, judge this on its own merits and don't be a hypocrite. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a chance. You never know. You might actually enjoy it. The thing that kind of disappoints me is the top review on my anime list has rated this a 1 after 10 episodes. 970 people agree with it?
That's the thing, though. Contrarians, they don't like it when it's popular.
Yeah.
It's been billed as popular from the off, so, ooh, let's be all outsiders and boo, boo, it's popular. They Justin Biebered it, is what they did.
All I can
it would have been all right if there wasn't for the fans and the popularity.
Yeah, all I can say to that is, keep it up in mind, don't be a hypocrite when you're watching it. Because you never know. You might enjoy this. It is actually an enjoyable series. I wouldn't keep reading the manga if it was boring. I would have dropped it a long time ago. But the manga has been interesting. Yes, it's had some tedious bits to work through. Most manga do.
That makes the reading experience at the end all worth it.
Yeah, you need the...
Unless it's Bleach. Then you sit there and question.
Well, Bleach should have ended with the final Getsuga Tensho. That was where it should have ended. Right? But we won't go into Bleach. Other toilet cleaners are available. But yeah, Black Clover, worth a watch, okay? It's a lot better than people are making out. It's a lot better than you might think.
Yeah, I'd have to disagree with the 970-odd who agree with a 1-star review. And I'm disappointed in the community for that, because Black Clover is a decent, solid anime, and it's worth the watch.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it, if you haven't given it a chance for whatever reason, just stick everything to the side, sit down, have a watch, and get into it. Give it like more than the 10 episodes. I mean, this is a Blu-ray set, obviously, that we've had to review, but there's more episodes beyond that. It's on Crunchyroll. I believe it'll be on Funimation now.
It is on Funimation now, I think, because Funimation's logo sweeps up at the beginning as well.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth it. And going from anime, I'm back onto Netflix. It's like intravenously attached to me veins now. And Netflix brought out I don't know, should I call it like an animated series, cartoon? It's more like an adult cartoon. It's called Final Space.
When you say adult cartoon,
yeah,
can we be more specific? Because in my experience with animation, saying something is an adult cartoon generally means porn.
I believe the rating is a 12-year-15. It has violence, gore, sexual references, swearing, you know, the usual PG stuff nowadays.
All right, so it's not an adult cartoon. It just has mature themes.
It's more aimed at an adult audience. It's one of them ones that popped up on me recommended.
If it's aimed at an adult audience, don't rate it a 12 bloody A.
Well, this is the thing, because for Netflix, I wasn't expecting this, and they kind of sprung it up on me recommended, and then suddenly everybody's watched it. And I'm like, all right, then let's jump on this bandwagon, because I wasn't expecting anything more adult, cartoony, not pornographic adult cartoony, but like, you know, mature cartoony. Till the Simpsons Enchanted thingery, the Matt Groening.
Disenchanted, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything to that. But Final Space came up, and it's obviously set in space. Duh.
Yeah.
And I believe it's 10 or 12 episodes long. I can't remember. I've just marathoned it. And it's about this guy, Gary, who's on a prison ship in space. And he's been locked up there because he tried to pick up a girl on Earth by pretending to be a fighter pilot. But instead of being a fighter pilot, he accidentally blew up 42 space cruisers and a small Mexican restaurant by accident. So he's up in space, and he's got this sentence and that, and he's on this ship, and I think it's HAL. I think they've took a bit of reference there, but HAL's the name of the operating system on this ship that's keeping him prisoner. He's basically up there just doing manual labor in space, maintaining the ship, and if he learns a lesson or something, he gets a reward in the form of a cookie. And obviously, because he's dumb as shit, he never gets a cookie.
Do you know who this sounds like?
Yeah,
sounds a lot like Zap Brannigan.
A more tolerable version, less sexist, less like Donald Trumpy.
Not as sexy, not as space sexy as Zap Brannigan.
But the thing is, there are parallels, because one of the characters in this is very Kif-like, only with like four more eyes than Kif. And there's an array. It's a very small like cast.
Yeah.
And the plot is he's on this spaceship and that, and he bumps into, I suppose you can describe it as an alien.
Yeah.
A little green slime thing, which is actually a destroyer of worlds. I'm not talking Bray Wyatt or anything. He actually literally can blow up planets. But he's like treated like a pet, gave it cuddles.
So again, we're coming back to Futurama with, Mr. Whatever his name is?
Nibbles.
Nibbles, yeah. Nibbles, who basically poops dark matter.
Yeah, so he's basically took this alien in, called it Mooncakes. And it turns out that this Mooncakes is actually being hunted by the Supreme Commander, who is voiced by David Tennant.
Okay.
Which is, it's weird, because he doesn't sound like the traditional Scottish David Tennant, but David Tennant does bad guys really good. And
he always has.
And shenanigans ensue. Dave becomes pursued by the Lord Commander. He makes some friends along the way, a cat called Avocado, whose son has been taken prisoner by the Supreme Commander. He also was second in command at one point to the Supreme Commander, but that's a little sub story as well. The girl that he hit on in the bar and accidentally destroyed like all the fighters in the Mexican restaurant, he's still obsessed with her. He can't get her out of his head, and he's doing this whole space diary thing where it's like day one, hi, you know, still here and that. And she's not receiving these messages. This is just for his own sanity, because I think his sentence was like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So now we're getting in a bit Red Dwarf now, aren't we?
Yeah. So it's kind of like Lister. And he's given an insanity companion. So his Rimmer's a robot. And I can't remember the name of the robot, but he's always like, God damn it. And he hates him with a passion, because this robot actually takes the cookies because he's allowed. and eats them, but he doesn't like eat them because he hasn't got a digestive system. He just smashes them into his face, just to spite Gary.
So it is Rimmer.
Yeah. And it's like funny, like the two, because like all through it, you think, oh, well, they're going to like make up and be friends at the end. But it's like, no, the hate just stays there. And even like the plot at the end of it, it's like they continue down that form. And I was laughing because I'm like, oh, they didn't do the whole, oh, you know, there'll be feelings, because there wasn't. It was just like, yes.
So there is no Rimmer, there is no Rimmer roller coaster.
No, there's no Rimmer roller coaster, but there's a subplot that he's out looking after Gary in certain ways, but he doesn't directly do it, and he'll never get the thanks for it, and he'll never, you know, he's always just this annoying of a robot. And well, like I said, it's entertaining. The plot's interesting. It's interesting because you get to see the end at the start. It's one of those.
All right.
Where Gary's like floating in space and he's like running out of oxygen. It's like, you have 10 minutes of oxygen remaining. And it's like, oh, but it's like 10 episodes. So we've got to get like a little clip at the beginning of each episode, just counting down. And you get to see all the events leading up to that. And basically, the plot is he's being chased by Supreme Commander, who wants to open a hole in space to reach into final space, which is home to Titans, these like big galactic monsters who are just all evil and whatnot. So apparently Mooncake is the key to opening it. There's some time travel involved there. You know, it's got all the classic tropes that your usual modern day geek would be pleased with. And it's quite fun. I'll give it that. It's quite fun. It's not spectacular, but if you're on Netflix, you're not looking for spectacular, though.
Yeah, true.
And you're just looking for something to like ebb and distract you from life. And this is one of those things that will just ebb your time away and distract you from your problems and demons. And it's just a playful little series. And like I say, it took me 6 episodes to find out who David Tennant was. So, because it's awesome. Like, oh, David Tennant's voicing in this. I'm like, well, who is he? And he did such a good job of voice acting, we couldn't tell him. Until awesome. We looked at the thing halfway through and we're like, oh, so he's the Lord Supreme Commander. And I've ruined it for everyone if anyone was going to play that game, but I've just saved you a few hours of your life.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's worth a watch. It's interesting dynamic. It's like space, like you say, if you like Red Dwarf, or there's like lots of little references here and there, Space Odyssey, Futurama kind of feel to it. Yeah, so it's a decent animation. Netflix, you know, it's what you expect from Netflix now. It's the Netflix standard. Not spectacular, but, you know, it'll still eat your time.
It'll entertain you.
Yeah. Awesome. That's all you can ask for in this day and age.
This is true. Right, so that's it from us for this week. If you head over to our website, you'll find all of our shows and all of the other stuff that we do, along with our Patreon and our shop. So, until next time, I've been Rob.
And I've been Tucky.
And we will see you all later.
Bye.